Hey folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
But we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and I want you to pray. I want to tell you something. We had some good comments on the service Sunday. And I wasn't doing the service Sunday for good comments. I was doing them because that's the way the Lord led us. But it's good that we had some people that were blessed by it. And I want to tell you something. Whenever you get serious about God, the devil will get serious about you. And we laid hands on Lindsay Sunday morning and prayed for that God would bless her and God would give her healing. And she has come down sick this week. She's running a fever tonight. And now there's people out there that say, see, you guys just don't have enough faith. Okay? No, I have all the faith. Amen? Put it in God's hands. I trust Him. Amen? Just because the devil likes to rear his ugly head, that don't mean nothing. Amen? God's still in charge, but I want you to pray for her. And pray for the little baby. And Brady has asked us to pray for him tonight. He's preaching in South Carolina tonight. And he got invited out there to preach, and he's preaching, and he was asking. In fact, he should already be done by now. If they had church at 7, should be over with. But we'll pray anyway, and I believe God can work it all out. Amen? Amen? In fact, God knew we was going to pray tonight anyway. And so we'll pray for him, and he should be coming back. Probably, was he coming back tomorrow?
Yes.
You got to go get him, right? Leave him up there. I don't care. Anyway, he'll come back with a story to tell. All right. So be praying for him. Pray for Bradley and Megan. And pray for one another tonight. Who just needs prayed for? Raise your hand. Amen. And so we're going to pray for one another. Pray for and ask God. Say, God, maybe there's somebody out there watching our church tonight that just needs somebody to pray for them. And God, whoever it is, you know who they are. God, would you help him and bless him? Somebody do that. Say amen. And I have to correct something, okay? I'd mentioned Sunday about a lady that calls, and she has some kind of lung disease. She has oxygen all the time. She calls, and we talk all the time. And I said that I never met her, and she reminded me yesterday that I did.
Amen.
I forgot all about it. But it was out in Bristol, Virginia. And it was after I spake, and I was trying to get out of there. I was kind of in a hurry to get to a plane. And she said, and I went, you know what I do? And I really do. I remember meeting them now. But anyway, so they'll probably be watching tonight. But anyway, just pray for somebody out there that needs prayed for. Amen. You don't know who it is, and that's okay. God knows who it is. You don't know what it's for, but that's okay. God knows what it's for. Amen. And even if you don't know what to ask or think, God is able to do above what we're able to ask or think. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
That doesn't mean that you can't pray specific things with God. You can. God wants to hear. God wants to hear what's really on your heart. And you pray those things and ask God to bless, and God will do it, and God will do it in His way. But anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Ask God to bless us and ask God to teach us great and mighty things that we know not. Ask God to bless and honor His word, which He will. He promised He would. And pray for one another tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank You, dear God. Lord, I want to pray for my mom first tonight, dear God. I thank You, Lord, for her. Lord God, You know what she went through yesterday. Father, yesterday was her birthday. And Lord, she had a rough day. And I just pray, dear God, Lord, that You'd lift her up. Lord, that You would help her and give her grace and give her comfort, Father. And Lord, Father, be with Lindsay tonight. And Lord, help her just get over this sickness, God, and just remove that fever from her, Lord. And we're asking You, Lord, we trust You, dear God. And You're the great physician. We believe, dear God, Lord, that You'll be good to her. And that's what we're asking You to do. Father, Lord, there may be somebody here tonight, Lord, who's had a rotten, terrible day. And Lord, if they're here tonight, I pray, God, Lord, that You would help them. You'd give them encouragement. Lord, Father, You'd just bless them. Father, Lord, if there's a sin in their life, Father, Lord, they would confess it, get it out to You, dear God, Lord, that You'd forgive them, You'd heal them, dear God. Father, I thank You, Lord, for letting us come into Your house tonight to worship You, to sing the old songs, to open up this old book. And Father, Lord, we have nothing in our hands to give You. We have nothing, Lord, that we have earned or merited in this life, dear God, that we could offer to You, Lord, that would be of any value to You, Lord. And so, Father, we're calling upon, Lord, your grace, your unmerited favor. Lord, it's not because of the things we've done. Lord, Father, it's the things that we haven't done, Lord, that we call upon you tonight, dear God, the things we couldn't do. Father, there may be someone watching tonight, Lord, that just had a rotten day, had a bad day, Lord, having a bad week, just really struggling, really hurting, Lord, in their soul, in their body, in their mind. Father, Lord, they just need somebody praying for them. And Lord, I don't know who they are, but Lord, I believe you laid this on my heart for a reason tonight. And so, Father, Lord, I'm praying for somebody tonight, Lord, that I don't know, somebody that I can't even picture, somebody whose need that I don't know what it is. But Lord, Father, you know. And I'm asking you, dear God, Lord, to bless whomsoever you will bless, dear God, and help, Lord, whoever you want to help. Thank you, dear God, Lord, for this Bible. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of prayer. Thank you, dear God, for helping us to trust you. Lord, increase our faith. Make us wise, Lord, unto salvation. Teach us this Bible, dear God. Give us answers, Lord, to questions we didn't even know how to ask. May your name be glorified and praised in all that we do. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And all of God's people said, amen. Take your Bible. Turn to Genesis, if you would. Genesis chapter 48. And you pray for me tonight. I went to this weather moving in. I like cold, rainy weather. Amen. I mean, I like it. It's the change of it. And just nice to get that cool air blowing on you. But just the different accidents I've had and one thing another, my bones tell me where they all are. Okay? I know where all my bones are. And I went to bed last night with the awfulest backache and headache that I think I've had in a long time. And it was really bothering me. I feel a little bit better today, but I can feel that headache creeping back up again. It starts right here in the midst of my back and goes up this side of my neck and right in through here and down in this eye right here. As if you think I'm winking at you tonight, I'm not. I'm just, oh, that hurts. Okay? I ain't getting fresh. I'm in pain. But anyway, so you pray for me tonight, all right? But anyway, Jacob had mentioned in verse 16, and I believe in the authority. We was having a conversation in my office about where the final authority is, and I believe I've got it right here. Okay, and I tell you what, I'll go ahead and tell you what it was we was doing. Gary was talking something about some of the Greek texts that they're coming out with that underlines all these Bible translations. And it got me to thinking, and I went through my little library of books, and I happen to have two New Testament Greek Bibles. Okay? So I pulled them both down off the shelf, and one of them is the Nestle-Aland Greek text, okay? And the other one is the, what was the name I mentioned? I can't remember, but it's a different group of scholars who put together a Greek text, okay? And I sat down, and I just took one, and I opened it up, and it opened it up to John chapter 10. Bruce Metzger. Okay, I opened one up to John chapter 10, and I opened the other one up to John. I just picked this one at random. Opened the other one up to John chapter 10. Now, I can read the Greek words, and I know what some of them are. And so I'm going through here word by word. I just started verse 10, and what was it? No, it wasn't. It was verse 32 or 31 or something like that, and started comparing them, and I showed these guys. It took me 2 minutes to find a discrepancy from one Greek text to the other. A word was missing. It was in this Greek text, but it was taken out of this one or was added to this one or whatever. Okay? And the word was kala, which is kalos, which means good. Okay? Now, which one's your authority? If you say the original Greek text is your authority, I'm going to ask you to pin down which one.
Amen.
Because both of them cannot be. Have you ever had a situation where one parent told you one thing and another parent told you another? Or have you ever worked out a deal where you went to one parent getting one thing and you went to another parent getting another thing? Okay? Get them working against each other. Two things that are opposite of one another cannot both be true. You just might as well settle it in your mind that since they can't figure out which Greek text is going to be right, you just might as well just settle it that this one's right. Amen? And so anyway, them poor, ignorant, unlearned King James translators made a capital A out of this angel in Genesis chapter 48, verse 16. The angel, which redeemed me from all evil, blessed the lads and let my name be named on them. In the name of my father is Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. I don't remember where all we left off with last week. Let me just kind of go back over my notes very quickly, and we'll just kind of get up to speed. He says that there's like four places in the King James Bible where the word angel is used in a capital letter, and that denotes the Lord Jesus Christ before his birth in Bethlehem, before his physical body birth in Bethlehem, all right? So I want us to look in Exodus chapter 23. Turn your Bibles there very quickly, okay? Exodus chapter 23. Now, Jacob is saying in Genesis 48 that the angel, capital A, which redeemed me from all evil. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ because only Christ has the power and the ability to redeem men's souls. And here it is, Jake Watson. I love this. I love the beauty of this. Jacob is already proclaiming who the Redeemer is before the Redeemer redeemed. Amen? See, that's faith. That's faith and that's trust. He's already proclaimed who his Redeemer is, and the fact that he is redeemed. He said, the angel which redeemed me. That's past tense. Redeemed is, it's already happened. He's already proclaimed it as if it's already happened, when it actually, the Redeemer hasn't come yet and hasn't redeemed yet. But I believe Jesus Christ is eternal. Somebody say amen. He always was, always is, always will be. But as somebody's questioning me about whether I believe Jesus was always the Son of God. Of course. Amen? Of course. Did you know that the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? He did not change into the Son. He did not become the Son. He always was the Son of God, always is the Son of God, and he will always be the Son of God. Somebody say amen. I just try to keep it real simple, and that's exactly what I believe. But he's already proclaimed Jesus as the Redeemer before the Redeemer actually came and redeemed. Now in Exodus chapter 23, verse 20, here's Moses talking, who is this talking? Let me turn my Bible there so I get the context of it. I don't want to mess you all up, all right? Exodus chapter 23, what verse did I say, verse 20?
20.
Okay. This is actually, this is part of the law that God is giving to the Israelites. And he says in verse 20, behold, I sent an angel before thee. Notice that is a capital A. Okay? I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way. So number one, this angel is going to go before them. Now I want you to think about this. Here at this time, Israel is being led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. One of them. I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but if you go to Revelation chapter 10, you have a mighty angel coming down from heaven, and his feet, both of them, are as pillars of fire. Okay, I believe that is what is being referenced here. Okay, it was in the Old Testament, one pillar led them into the earthly promised land. But now that we have the New Testament, we have two pillars leading us all into the real promised land. Somebody say amen to that. Okay, so I just kind of ponder that for a while. So number one, the angel is always going to go before us. And I want to tell you something. When you have faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you understand that God always goes before you. He's already been where you've been. He's already tasted what you've tasted. He's already been through what you've been through. Amen. Somebody say amen. Young people, think about this about your parents. They're not as dumb as a box of rocks like you think they are. Amen. Okay? You think that they're just not with it. They don't understand anything. They've never, you think that they just showed up being old people. Okay? They were 12 years old at one time. They were 14 years old at one time. They were 17 years old at one time. They thought their parents were stupid as a box of rocks like you think they are now. Amen, old people? Okay? They've made mistakes. They've encountered some of the same things that you've encountered, and they've been hurt, they've been bruised, they've been beaten, they've been bandaged, they've been everything else in the world, and they have gone before you, and they've got at least 20 years of good wisdom on you, if not more. Amen. What school did my parents go to? School of Hard Knocks. That's exactly where they went to, and they know that you're headed to that same school. And they hope that you'll graduate. Okay? But Jesus has always gone, the Bible says he tasted death for every man. He was the first fruits, and he experienced what it is that you and I are headed for. He's already done that for us, and he's already marked out the path. Somebody say amen. He's following. He said, I sent an angel before thee, number one, to keep thee in the way. And I'll tell you something. I believe in free will. I believe in man's choice. I believe that God gave man two trees in the midst of the garden, one good, one bad, and said, choose. Amen? I believe in free will. But I also believe in a God that keeps me. I do. I believe in a God that keeps me. And there's times when I could not keep myself. Okay? And wanted to be kept, but I could not keep myself, and God kept me. So I believe in God that will keep us in the way, and if you'll follow him. And then he says, and to bring thee into the place which I have what? See, I just like the King James Bible. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I go to do what? Prepare a place for you. That he's, and watch this. Jesus already went ahead of us. Amen? He's already gone ahead of us and prepared the way. And this is exactly what's being said here. And to bring thee into the place which I've prepared. Verse 21. Well, watch this now. This is Jesus. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not. For he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. In other words, don't provoke him. Don't go against him. Verse 22. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. How many of you got some of those? Say amen. Okay? And then he says in verse 23, For mine angel, capital A, shall go before thee, and bring thee into the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. And those were the enemies that were waiting in the land of Canaan, that heard that Israel was coming, and they knew that they had a fight on their hands, and they thought maybe they might be able to defeat them. But they allowed, the Israelites, by and large, allowed God to go before them and to lead them in the way, and they listened to God and they followed God, and God is the one, listen, God is the one who brought down the walls of Jericho. I've read some stupid stuff in my life. And I've read all kinds of things about UFOs and how God really is a space alien and this and that and the other. And there's somebody out there with a crazy theory that says that the aliens gave the Israelites some kind of special sound vibration things that when they deployed these instruments, you know, the trumpets in the book of Joshua, that when they deployed these special instruments that the aliens gave them, that the sound waves caused the walls around Jericho to crumble. And that's how they did it. They did it with extraterrestrial help. Yeah. I just believe that God brought the walls down.
Amen.
Amen. That's what I believe. And there was nothing magic about the trumpets. There was nothing magic about the number of times they marched around. They just did what God told them to do, and God blessed it. Somebody say amen. And I'll say this again. You don't have to ask God to bless what he's already said he will bless if you'll do what he said. You don't have to ask God to bless it. Okay? And you'll hear me every now and then pray, God bless your word. He already is. He already has. He already is. And he already will be. But anyway, God will cut off all your enemies from you. Let me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 enemies right here. Okay? God will cut off all your enemies. Let me move on here. Let's deal with the angel here. Look in chapter 32, Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Turn there. He says again concerning the angel in verse 34, Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. This is the fourth time that this word angel is capitalized in the King James Bible. Mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. Now, we talked about, last week, we talked about Genesis chapter 22. Did we not talk about the angel who appeared to Abraham when he had the knife up like this? Y'all remember that? Okay, we talked about that. And we talked about the angel appeared. Did we talk about the angel in the burning bush? Did we get that far? Did we get that far? Don't just say yeah to keep me going. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Let's look at this very quickly and then we're going to move on. Okay? Here's Moses. I think we already did. Let me just cover this very quickly. I just like how this Bible is written. It'll tell you who this is. In Exodus chapter 3 verse 2, the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." Verse 4, "When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush." The Bible said in verse 2 who it was that was in the midst of the bush. It was the angel of the Lord. And now the Bible is referring to him as God. Even if you want to say that this angel simply was the mouthpiece of God, that is precisely who Jesus was. He was the mouth of God, the voice of God, the word of God. And his, as we talked about, the word angel means messenger. And so here is Jesus, the exalted messenger above all other angels in heaven, who has been chosen by his Father to relay the message of God to Moses that he was going to set his people free. And so he says, God, verse 4, "God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." But we've already seen in verse 2 that this God was the angel of the Lord. This was none other than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, reincarnate. Turn to Numbers chapter 22. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers chapter 22. Just doing a survey of the scriptures concerning Jesus, who appeared pre-incarnate. We could also go, while you, in Numbers chapter 22, just kind of hold your place there, and I won't have you turn there. But if we were to go back to Genesis chapter 18, and Genesis chapter 18, we see that three men are making their way toward Sodom and Gomorrah. And they stop off at Abraham's place. And one of those men is Jesus Christ. It's the Lord who is reiterating the promise to his face, to and to Sarah's face, of the covenant that he has made with them. Here is Abraham, and he is looking upon this man figure who is God. It is the Lord, but it's the Lord Jesus before he's born in Bethlehem. And he's reconfirming the covenant or the promise that he made to Abraham and to Sarah. That, and even when Sarah laughs, God confronts her about it and says, "You laughed." She says, "I didn't laugh." He said, "Yeah, you did laugh. And I'm telling you, this time next year, you're gonna be holding a baby. Laugh then." Amen. Okay, laugh when the baby's crying at 3 o'clock in the morning. Amen. Okay, then be the time to laugh. But anyway, so that was another appearance of Christ before his birth in Bethlehem. And then Numbers chapter 22. Oh, let's see here. This is dealing with Balak and all that stuff. In Numbers chapter 22, and we find in verse 35, "The angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak." Here is the angel of the Lord identified with the word of God. Only the word that this angel speaks through Balaam, was he allowed to speak. And so here we have the angel of the Lord identified as the messenger of God and also as the word of God. Take your Bible, turn to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. Ooh, I like this one. But I tell you what, I really wish Brady was here. Because I love Brady. I love him. I love Bradley and Brady so much. And I've cared about them for years, but I can remember just about every conversation that Brady and I had on the phone, and I would say, Jesus is God, and he would say, no, he wasn't. And I'd say, well, the angel of the Lord is Jesus. No, it isn't. And he'd just kind of go back and forth, and I wish he was here, because I'd like to see him nod his head now. Amen. Amen. You see, it may not amount to a whole lot to you people, because probably most of y'all have grown up in church or raised in church or had good Christian doctrine. But here we got two young men in this church that were raised in cults, were taught false doctrine, hell is, that if they would have believed them, if they would die, they would have been to hell right now. That both of them would have been in hell right now if they'd have continued on in the way that they were going. Okay? And both of them denied the deity of Jesus Christ in one form or another. Okay? Denying the deity, denying the godhood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something. I like to get along with people. I like to get along with people that say they're Christians and this, that, and the other. But when you tell me that God is not a Godhead, that he's not Father and Word and Holy Ghost, I'm out. I'm not going to hang around. I'm not going to fellowship. And I may not be nice about it. Depends on how much you push me over it. Okay? Because I just believe that Jesus is God, the Father is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. Amen? I may not be able to explain it well, but I'm telling you, that's what this Bible says, and that's what I believe. Somebody's, I don't care how many verses they take out of the Greek text and how many words they change around. Jesus is God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now look in Judges chapter 2. It's reaffirmed right here. Look at this. Judges chapter 2 verse 1. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt. This angel of the Lord is identified with the angel, capital A, that led them out of Egypt into the promised land. Somebody, how many of you see that? The angel of the Lord says, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. Who made the covenant? It was the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. And you just might as well mark it down. Every place in this Bible is a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole purpose of the Bible is to reveal Jesus Christ. The very last book of the Bible is called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. God is revealing who his son is, how he was born, what he did before he was born, how he was always the Redeemer, how he was always the leader, how he was always the King, how he was always the Son. He always was these things. He is right now, and he always will be. Somebody say amen. I just don't like this false doctrine. I just don't like it. I get a little excited about it. And look at this. Did you say get them? Don't tell me that. That's, you know what you tell that to dogs, amen? Go get them! Of course, it doesn't work with them. I tell my dogs, Sterling come up on the porch, my dogs are just, and I say, get them! And they just go. Ain't good for much, I can tell you that. I guess my dogs know that I've got weapons in the house, and they'll just bark, and I'll do the rest, amen? Got to be careful with that, Sterling. Amen. Anyway, the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Amen. Underline that in your Bible.
Yes, amen.
And put a big arrow pointing to that. I will never break my covenant with you. And now this was the mouth of God saying this. Okay? Rule number one, God will never break his covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He never will. Number two, now that you have been adopted in or grafted in to the vine or to the olive tree, this applies to you. I will never break my covenant with you. Amen? I never will break my covenant with you. Okay? The Bible, the Scriptures, cannot be what?
Broken.
Cannot be. Okay? Somebody... Man, I want to be nice. Somebody sent me a package in the mail. It had a Bible in it. And it was a King James. And it had a letter pleading with me to re-examine my view of hell. And they sent me some articles to read. And it was full of, now the original Hebrew really said this. Am I right? Yeah, I gave it to you. Did you read it? Okay. And the original Greek says this. And really what this really means is, and then to top it all off, the article said, now since we have proven that the traditional view of hell is unbiblical. No, it's not. Okay.
Amen.
This Bible's right. Scriptures cannot be broken. You can say all day long that you don't believe in the hell of the Bible. That does not negate the hell. That will not douse the flames of eternity. It will not put the fires out. Okay? And see, I'm just real simple about it. I can read the Greek. I don't understand most of it. I just believe what my forefathers in this country believed when they had an old Bible. They would preach hell, and they would preach it hot, and they would preach it everlasting. They would preach that the punishment was forever. That's what they preached, and that's what brought revival in the land. Amen? And if you're the one who sent that to me and you're listening tonight, I love you, and I care about you, and I'm not trying to embarrass you or anything like that, but I'm just letting you know that the article that you sent is not an authority over what this book says.
Amen.
It is not an authority. And the Scriptures cannot be broken. And God says, I will never break my covenant with you. And do not be mocked. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I want to tell you something. When you sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit you shall reap everlasting life. You sow to the flesh, of the flesh you will reap corruption. Okay? And I'm here to tell you that what this, you don't need someone else to teach you about hell. You just need to read it. Okay? Go read Luke chapter 16 and just believe what it says. You'll get all the glimpse of hell that you can handle. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
In fact, it probably wouldn't hurt you. Tonight when you pray, when you go home, lay down in your bed, turn television off, and just lay there and think about you being in hell. I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. But the point here of Judges chapter 2 is that the angel of the Lord is declaring, I'm the one that brought you here, and I promised you I will never break my covenant with you. I never will. Okay? Jesus was always there with his people, giving them that promise. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Judges. Here's another illustration. Boy, I like this. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. This is concerning the birth. Oh, no, excuse me. This is different. I'll tell you what, I like this story. Let me ask you a question before I get into this. I want to preface this with a question. How many of you have ever tried to make a deal with God, saying, God, I'll do this for you, or I'll give you this, or I'll whatever. If you'll do this for me. Have you ever done that? Just go ahead. I've done it, so we've all done it. Okay? What's that old war saying? There's no atheists in foxholes.
Yeah.
Okay? If you've ever been in a foxhole or ever been under grazing fire, you'll understand, at some point you're gonna believe in God and say, God, get me out of this mess and I'll be a good person. Okay? And I'm sure that everybody here has offered God some sort of gift or made a covenant that you were going to give God some sort of gift if he would just get you out of a bind or just help you out with some difficulty you're having in life or even to save your life or whatever or to save your soul. And I will tell you this, I've been with people and prayed with people and leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ and leading them to salvation. And I can tell you that I have never told anybody, I have never one time told anybody that now if you want God to forgive you and save you, you need to give this or you need to do this or you need to do that. Salvation is not reciprocal. What that means is God is not going to save you if you will give him something or give him some kind of gift. Okay? The God who takes your gift is not God. The God who takes your gift is not God. And I'm going to show you that. Okay? Several years ago, God helped me with, you know, I see myself in a lot of places in the Bible. One of those places that I've seen myself in the Bible is Gideon. Gideon had, if you want to use modern terminology, low self-esteem or, you know, just whatever it is. No self-confidence, insecurity. And I one of the sermons I preached was the insecurity of the believer. Okay? Because we've all got it. We cover it up somehow, some way. I cover mine up with a lot of humor. Okay? That's my insecurity. That's me trying to bring lightness to a situation where I can feel comfortable in. Okay? I mean, I'm just being honest with you. That's how it is. And it's funny. Okay? See, like right now. Okay? But anyway, I've had to deal with it in my life. A lot of personal issues. I didn't go see a psychiatrist or anything like that. I'm not necessarily saying that's bad. I'm just saying I've just had to deal with a lot of insecurities and a lot of times where I never thought I was good enough to be a Christian. Okay? And I had it in my mind when this came up, I was going to just kind of deal with that. We are going to take a few minutes here. Okay? And we're here to worship the Lord and to understand His Word. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
You study the life of Gideon, and Gideon was all the time looking for help. He was all the time looking for confirmation from God. Even though God would come right out and say, I'm going to do this for you. Gideon was all the time looking for it. He's the one that put the fleece out before the Lord. How many of you know a little bit about that story? That's Gideon. That's Gideon. Not only did he lay the fleece out once, he asked God to do it again the opposite way just to make sure. Okay? That's somebody who comes to you and says, are you my friend? And you say, yes. And then 5 minutes, are you sure? Okay? That's Gideon. Okay? Gideon's that little squirt friend that, yes, I'm your friend! Okay, that's him, all right? So anyway, verse 11. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon has done nothing up to this point but just thresh wheat. But God has chosen him and said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon is not even a soldier at this time. Okay? And you stop and ponder that for a while. Anyway, verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt or from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him. We just saw that it was the angel of the Lord. Now he's identifying him as capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Jehovah. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go on this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? God did not raise his hand to get in and smack him upside the head and say, you fool, I just told you that I was going to do that. Why question me? So he says in verse 15, and he said, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. That's exactly who God's looking for. Somebody say amen. Verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, here's Gideon. If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Gideon is trying to discern if this is really God talking to him. You ever been there before? It's okay. Okay? Now verse 18, depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present. Gideon says, I'm going to give you a gift. Okay, I'm going to bring you a present now, if you'll just show me this. Okay, don't you watch this, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. Gideon went in, made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour, and the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, put it out unto him under the oak and presented it. So he has a basket full of bread, and he has a pot of goat broth. I don't know what that's like, but whatever. You ever had goat broth, Michael? No? Okay. I was counting on you there. In verse 20, and the angel of God said unto him, watch what happens to the gift. The angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and unleavened cakes. And there rose up a fire out of the rock, consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. He brought a kid. He brought the meat. He brought bread. He brought broth. Okay, starting to sound pretty good. Amen. You'd take the bread and put some goat meat in there, dip it in the broth. Starting to sound pretty good. Amen. Okay, nice little savory meal. To the angel of the Lord, I need to know that this is really God. What does the angel of the Lord say do to the broth? Pour it out. It's all gone. It's wasted. What does he do with the flesh and the bread? Put it on the rock. The angel of the Lord took his staff. And it's gone. It's nothing but ashes there. And the angel of the Lord looked at him, and then he left. And Gideon knew that he was dealing with the God who does not accept gifts. And you think about that long and hard. If you've ever tried to offer God a gift. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, God understands us. If you've ever said, God, I'll give you this, or I'll do this and do this and do this, if you'll just do this for me, because you need to stop and think about what this means. If you serve a God that will take gifts, there will be somebody who will give a better gift than you. And I won't serve that God who will take a gift. Now, let's put this on earthly terms so you really get this. Let's say that this was a judge hearing a case. And the judge said to one of the parties of the case, I'm thinking I'm going to rule in your favor. Wink, wink, wink. What that means is, I have an empty hand here. Fill it. And there's undoubtedly, we have situations like that in this country. We don't like to think about it, but that's how it is with politicians. Amen? They're taking bribes right and left. You say, oh, I don't believe that. Every time a politician gets on a plane and goes to a resort that's paid for by some corporation, that's a bribe as far as I'm concerned. They're trying to buy favor with that politician. You don't have that ability. Who in here has the ability to call up Russ Carnahan, who's got an office in this town, call up Russ Carnahan and say, Russ, won't you come up to my house for a barbecue? Well, I don't have time for that. But if Monsanto calls him and says, we got a plane waiting for you out on the field, it's a private jet, we're going to fly you out to Aspen, Colorado for the weekend, you and your family. He'll be on that plane just like that. You see how it works? And I'm just telling you, how do you know that you're dealing with the real God is when he will not take your gift. You can't pay God enough to hear your prayers. And God, the angel of the Lord, God is showing this in this picture here. The broth goes into the ground, it's nothing. All that savory juices that was in that broth that you and I would just, oh, we love that, poured out onto the ground. And the meat and the bread turned into ashes. It's like some of y'all's cooking. Amen? And it's gone. And the angel of the Lord left. I serve the God who doesn't take gifts. And I like it that way. So when God's going to do something for you, he's not going to do it on how much you give him or how much you pay him or what you try to offer him in order to get his blessings. That's not how he's going to do it. He's going to do it on the basis of whether he loves you or not. Somebody say amen. To date, none of my children, my grown adult children, have paid me or their mother for the 18 to 20 years of their raising. Amen, Lisa? We have an untold amount of food bills, lights that they left on, water bills, okay, clothes, repairs, everything. They have not paid us back for that. And we wouldn't take it if they could. Because we didn't raise them to get paid. We raised them because we loved them. And we gave them those things. And yeah, the picture on the refrigerator looked nice for about a week and a half. Okay? And they thank God they never asked what happened to them. Sorry to break your bubble, Alicia. But the angel of the Lord stood there and showed what God does with our gifts. He won't take them. And I wouldn't serve the God that did. I want God that I serve to hear me because He loves me. And I don't have anything to... See that old song, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, let's see. I could keep going. Let me just finish this. Psalm 34, 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. You see, the angel of the Lord is your deliverer. Amen? He's your helper, your protector, your provider. He does not judge on the basis of gifts. And He delivers you. And that's about all I have. Good to be here tonight. Amen? You go home tonight, or when you pray right now, think of yourself in hell. Okay? I don't know about you, but when I do that, I kind of get sick to my stomach. Now, I'm not joking. I do. When I realize that had it not been for the Lord, I could be screaming in hell for eternity. Screaming in hell for eternity. I don't want that. I cannot begin to tell you how bad I don't want to go to hell. Amen?
Amen.
And I can tell you that I'm glad I have a Savior who defeated all my enemies. Let's stand to our feet. By the way, let's turn this around real quick. God does things for us without us giving Him a gift. Amen?
Amen.
When you give to God, let's say you tithe or offering or whatever. Okay, let's say you're giving your time or you come over to church and do some kind of work or something like that. If you give with the anticipation that God's going to pay you back, keep it.
Amen.
Keep it. I don't care if it's you people or you people on the internet, you keep it. If you think God's going to give something back to you when you give, you just hang on to it. Okay, go put it in the stock market. Okay? You give because you love the Lord.
Amen.
You do things for the Lord because you love Him, not because He's going to bless you and pay you back somehow, some way. God will not be indebted to you, by the way.
That's right.
Okay? So just think about that. When you're ready to do something for the Lord, do it as unto the Lord. Do it because you love Him. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I love You, and I thank You, dear God, Lord, for the unspeakable gifts that You've given me. God, I cannot earn what You have blessed me with. I can't. I can't serve You throughout an eternity to pay back what You've given for me. But I thank You, Lord, for it. And I thank You, dear God, Lord, that You don't require my payments to You for Your blessing. Because, Lord, there are better people in this world than me who could probably give You better things. And Father, likewise, dear God, help us, Lord, to have the mindset and the attitude that when we do things, Lord, when we do things around the church, when we talk to somebody about the Lord, make DVDs or whatever it is, God, we put tithes in the offering plate. God, we're not doing that, Lord, to get paid back. We're doing that because we're thankful for what You've done for us. And that's just a very, very small way that we show our appreciation to You, God. Thank you, dear God, for that. Lord, bless us and help us to have our minds right and our attitudes right. Lord, Father, help us to be pure in heart so that we can see you one of these days. Bless and honor your word, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.